favor, all in favor of approving the agenda?
So your volume is not very loud, at least on my computer.
You're coming in and out.
And the summary notes. Did you have a chance to review the summary notes? Changes or suggestions to the summary notes? Is that a motion to approve? Second?
I still don't hear. It's just on and off.
Same problem. Hey, Jane. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you're dim when you do speak, and it's kind of in and out.
Yeah, it's right. Very faint.
All dim.
Yeah.
That's the IT guy.
As far as my tech support is going. Jane, just started a Parks Board meeting. Folks on the but we're fading.
Welcome to WebEx. Press 1 to be connected to your meeting.
You guys here?
Hello. Is that better?
Better.
Yes.
Better. All right.
Thanks, Jay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. We could do that remotely.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of these days.
Well, I know, right?
We'll have nothing to
do. Okay.
Oh, do we have any community comments tonight?
We do not.
Okay. I just wanted to, the first agenda item after that is communications. And I just wanted to kind of do a heads up through the meeting if there are specific things that you think we should be communicating to the city council. Please make a note or say something. I'm going to make a note to do that. And then also, if there's anything that we should be sending to the communications director of the city, I forget what the actual title is, to just say, hey, this is something that should be going out to the community, or this is something that should be going out to city council. And then at the end, we'll just do a kind of a quick check to make sure that if there's anything that needs to go to either the community or council, that we have that all taken care of. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah?
All right. So I was unable to go to the disc golf meeting out at the disc golf. Yeah. So I know that you and Eric and the church met. And so what were the conclusions from that meeting, Ken?
You're right. Jennifer from the city met with Paul from the church and Eric Waller from the Eagle Scout, who's the father of this person that did it. So they walked the course and discussed a lot of items. I'll summarize briefly. So they talked about tree trimming along the course, removing hazards, which were previously trimmed, kind of shrubs and bushes, cut down one hazardous tree at about T5 and 6, cut into manageable rounds. Those three items were going to be done by the city staff. They're going to look at improving the course tee boxes, and they want to move one obstructed one. They want to build a small boardwalk across a runoff area, wet most of the year. Those two items would be done by Eagle Scout projects and or the scouts themselves. We're going to use our Bobcat as a city to mow some of the blackberries where we can get to them. They talked about staging the woody debris into piles kind of adjacent to the course where volunteers can get to it and take it out. That'd be a combination of the scouts and Willamette Christian Church volunteers, along with kind of just removing debris piles to get moved out to the edge of the park. With our coordination, we'll have drop boxes dropped off, the red boxes we drop off for volunteer groups, so all the debris can be put in those boxes, and we will haul it away to the appropriate locations. They talked like we did about a placement of the garbage can near T-Box 1, and the church would be able to kind of monitor that and manage dumping the garbage. They're still kind of in discussions with our real wet weather on, you know, timeline of these tasks that will happen during the summer. You know, when our city of Westland staff, the scouts, and the church are ready. And a lot of this, we kind of needed to dry out a little bit before we can do any of it. So we're hopeful that happens sometime this summer and not too rapidly, but we'll get there. So it was a great meeting, and I think everybody's in agreement that we can, you know, take these tasks on slowly but surely and make it a facility that can be better used by the community.
Excellent. What an excellent example. Coordinating volunteers, city, yep, everybody. That's awesome. Any questions from the board? Any feedback?
When do you think you're going to put the boxes out there for just starting the cleanup and stuff?
Well, we'll so we have three of those, and they're very heavily used each weekend,
so
almost.
Rotate them around.
Yeah, so what we'll do is we schedule those with our park maintenance staff. So once kind of the debris starts to get cut, or the city or the scouts are going to go and do something, and we know piles are going to come out on a weekend, we'll schedule to place the box. And so what we try to do is we only move debris once. So the volunteers carry it out and put it right in the box for us, so they don't put it on the ground and then we have to put it in a box later. So specific dates will be identified in the future.
Awesome.
Hopefully.
Great. Okay. I just put this on the agenda as a placeholder, and I was hoping that our staff could help us understand what we might need to anticipate with Oplander.
That's a great question. So what we know, I think, as of 2 days ago, if you look at unofficial results at the Clackamas County election website, the bond measure at $3.5 million for Oplander was passing 66% yes, 34% no. That's not official yet. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. But it certainly looks like, I mean, with the volume that's there, it certainly looks like it's going to pass. What else we know is that the school district has filed with the county a lawsuit that we have basically over a number of items in the purchase and sale agreement. We have violated the purchase and sale agreement as a city, and it should be voided. So the city legal staff has responded to, you know, the legal paragraphs in the lawsuit and feel differently that we have not violated the purchase and sale agreement. So it's still valid with a purchase price of $120,000. Where that goes or what happens in the future, you know, is up to city council and the school board to see what happens, but it appears it may go through the court system, as far as we know. Which means, you know, the city would, if it does pass, that probably means the city is not going to sell bonds, you know, and start having citizens, you know, pay for something that is in a court system. So this would just delay everything until there's a decision made and appropriate action would be taken by the city at that time. So I guess it's about the best answer I have.
It is a quandary. So basically, this is on, for all intents and purposes, for us, this is simply on hold until the lawsuit is resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. I mean, for us, down the road, if in fact the city purchases the property, we'll move into a master plan for the property. Mm-hmm. And before that, you know, depending on what time of year it is, there may be little improvements, you know, to facilitate safer use or different use. But the master plan would be the next step for us to move into.
Great. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Okay. This is just moving right along. Willamette Park plans. We had we were supposed to go and take a look at Willamette Park, look at the GO bond review, the trail, non-motorized boat launch, swim area. Before we get into the topics, I just wanted to ask the board, did you get a chance to go to Willamette Park and have a look around?
Oh, yeah.
I frequent it regularly.
Yeah.
Me too. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I do have one quick question. Yeah. More out of curiosity than anything. The canoes and life jackets that are down there.
Yep.
Are they, I know like on our parks up north, we work with the county to provide life jackets, right? Is that the same thing down there? Kind of, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of have, there's kind of life jackets that can be used at the main burner boat ramp and then at the kayak rack and canoe rack, kind of on the unimproved.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically the concept. They're there for people to use.
Okay.
Do they get used? I don't know. I seem to see the same ones hanging there, but they're available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of what I thought when I went by there.
Yeah. So, okay. It's just really ugly and muddy looking right now.
I know. I'm going, well, this works, but it's going to be so much better.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because it's all rutted out in the mud.
Yeah.
And everything else. So,
yeah.
It'll be better.
And I wanted to thank you for sending the PowerPoint document.
Yeah. Kind of a reminder of what this looks like.
Yeah. It was very helpful. I know that I printed it off and brought it with me. Okay, so how do we want to start this? This is kind of our, this is like, was supposed to be our big focal point for the year. And so,
I can walk you through it again. And I wish I had a lot of things to say about what's happening, but I don't have a lot. But we'll certainly, we can talk about each little project and then you can ask questions or move forward. So the first project we talked about was bond measure. It's
yeah,
project 1816, which is Willamette Park improvements. So in the last month, what we've done there is we did have a new metal roof put on the gazebo down at the park, which is great. It looks good. It's pretty. It matches the restroom. The other piece that's happening with that project right now is we have the contract with an engineering firm and a recreation firm, KPFF. And that is really initial work for the non-motorized boat ramp that we've looked at and talked about, which includes, you know, potentially the beach area, potentially in-water seasonal boat dock, low boat dock for non-motorized boats, ADA pathway down. Mm-hmm. It includes parking if you drove by where all that yuck is, mm-hmm. the dirt, and then it improves Volt Street from where you come down 12th and turn right and go to 12th and mm-hmm. Avenue. It puts a sidewalk going up that street, which in my mind is very important because mm-hmm. if you go there, there are so many people walking mm-hmm. and it's not a great area to walk through the park. So the first phase of the contract right now takes us through the end of the year. And to kind of summarize in terms of the contract, and it really gets us really to a conceptual design, a preferred conceptual design for the areas. We look at the ADA pathway mm-hmm. and the parking, because what we want to do with the parking that's going to be there is we want to maximize parking as much as we can, because that park is fully overloaded in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also looking at topographical and bathymetric surveys in the river as we move forward. You know, it's looking at code and regulatory compliance as we move forward. We know we're going to have to do no-rise studies for the river. We're going to have to do some cultural studies that are going to be required. So this is all precursor to land use. We get into conceptual design and alternative analysis. And there's a couple of points that we will, you know, get submittals that I can check in with you. We're actually supposed to get, you know, a little quality review tomorrow. You know, then we kind of jump out to July and we'll kind of, you know, start to get the two design alternatives that we've kind of worked with them on. You know, then we jump to October where we kind of start to get, you know, the submittal where we've, you know, start to develop the alternative of choice and the concepts. And then, you know, we finalize the preferred design around November 18th. So, like I say, this is just kind of the first part of that. The other thing we did accomplish this month to help with not only this project, but during the summer, if you were there 3 weeks ago, we had a small lumber company that had piled thousands of logs on the beach area. It was with all the storm, there were so many logs there. So we actually had a company come in and tow all of the wood that kind of gathered in that eddy mm-hmm. for the past mm-hmm. year, and had them tow it out to the river and let it float down, down the river. So we're kind of ready for, them to do their surveys and have people kind of enjoy the area that's there during the summer. We did also just, doesn't tie into this project, but we did have, last year we talked about the company that is down there. We signed a contract with that has canoes, mm-hmm. Kayaks, mm-hmm. stand-up paddle boards. They moved in this week. They're ready to start their summer with rental, and that's a contract we have with them to provide those services. As you remember, it was popular last year.
Mm-hmm. They're excellent.
Mm-hmm. We hope the sun comes out and it'll be popular again this year. So that's really kind of what's happening in Willamette Park as far as that bond project. Other things we're exploring still initially, did we talk about a tugboat coming to the park?
No. Yes, we did.
No.
I don't remember.
Maybe I mentioned it to Vicki.
Maybe Vicki.
We're in initial conversations with the Willamette Falls Cultural Heritage Foundation that, you know, is working with us on Historic City Hall in the Locks area. Bernard Company.
Yeah.
Bernie.
The lady. Yeah.
I'll get to what I know. The Lady Bee is a historic 34-foot tugboat that they would like to give to this group. And they are trying to figure out where they could store this and or put this tugboat. So we had a meeting about 6 weeks ago. Ideally, the preferred location for a tugboat to be on display, you know, for people to see the history would be down by Historic City Hall and the lock and things.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have a conversation about, well, maybe it could be located at Willamette Park. Burner Boat Ramp is named after the Burner family, and, you know, so it could, you know, be there. So that's an informal conversation. We're also having conversations with Portland General Electric, PGE, who is dismantling historic grinder rooms at the mill. Oh. And they're working with the State Historic Preservation Office to do that. And they have kind of came to us and said, what if we were to bring some historical artifacts out and have some interactive things that go down the trail that we already have at Burner Landing? We have one display there, the grinders. And
okay.
So we're kind of in formal conversations with them also, if they would, you know, want to go down. We kind of looked at going down about 200 yards on the side of the trail. Could be old pieces from inside there that kids could look at, play with, learn. So that's just kind of in the infancy, kind of like the tugboat. Other than that, you may hear our Public Works is the second contract that Parks is really not involved with. From Burner Landing down to 4th Avenue, if you are to drive past the boat ramp, Public Works has a contract, and they are looking at a possible conceptual design for improving Volt Street kind of all the way down where our trail may continue on the riverfront. And I only mention that because we kind of got wrapped in it 6 months ago, and some of the neighbors down there are very concerned about improvements to the street, mm-hmm. removal of trees, traffic, you know, kind of those things that come along with a street improvement. So just if you happen to hear it, it's really not our project, but, you know, I could talk to someone or point them in the right direction if someone mentions it.
So that would be all the way past the where it's no, now it's
it basically
no,
ends,
no throw street, but everybody has anyway.
At 4th Street now.
Right, and, yeah.
And a reminder, the very unique thing about this area is that Volt Street is not a public right-of-way.
Right.
Like every other street, mm-hmm. is actually owned by whoever owns the property.
Okay.
And there are some old agreements with PGE on, you know, the city can do such and such, but there are sections that are owned in private ownership.
So yeah, I was looking at that,
yeah.
On that graphic you gave us, like, really, huh?
So there's still questions there, even with a street improvement,
yeah.
let alone our trail. So,
interesting.
So I don't know. Any questions or comments on that project?
Before you get into, you're doing such a really organized job. I just wanted to make sure the board had an opportunity to share any questions or opinions on dismantling the grinders and at the mill and using them on the trails, or the 34-foot tugboat Lady Bee. Thoughts, opinions, questions from the board? Do we like these ideas? Is this a wonderful thing? Do we say, okay. Oh my gosh, this is awesome? Or like, what are they thinking?
I guess
just initially.
I love wrapping in the historic piece with the,
yeah.
you know, it's kind of that recreation, interpretive, historical interchange, right? Which is all great. I think with the tugboat, I'm still kind of going through in my mind, but I wouldn't want it to. Its final location or resting spot to inhibit the park's intent of, you know, like the boat ramp and the potential swim area and all that sort of stuff, right? It would be like it complements what we're doing, but it's not going to replace or give priority over. Does that make sense?
Especially when we're talking about Willamette Park, which is a brutally heavily used park.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, the bodies per square foot is kind of amazing all year round, but especially, you know, during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our focus for Willamette Park was keeping it really using that riverfront. So if that was taken up by a tugboat, what I'm hearing you say is that would not be the priority in your mind. Okay. How do other people feel?
I agree with what he said, but I think it's great, all this, you know, kind of joint working together with different things that are going on. I like the idea, but the tugboat there all the time does seem like it would impede on events and people enjoying the water. But yeah, so I agree, not a final resting place, but I like the idea of it making an appearance.
Yeah, these are both truly in their infancy.
Well, I think it's important to hear from the members of the community just to get initial feedback. Other ideas or reactions? Jane, what are your thoughts?
It sounds great. I would wonder, of course, with the way the river is coming and going with the height, and of course during storms, is it going to be permanently moored there? Is there a concern about oil leakage or any other toxic thing leaking out of it due to its age? So, you know, environmental hazards, and how would it connect to the community? Is there a dock? Is it temporary? You know, all those kind of logistical environmental things seems like it's a lot to take on at this time. But in general, I can picture it. It sounds great, but it sounds like a lot to wade through before we get to that point. So, yeah, I'd love to see it.
And I think, too, if it was as we just develop further down east on the river, I mean, the Volp Street and somewhere down there, a more permanent installment closer to the mill itself would be really quite an interesting thing. You could have all of those on the trail. Right. And it doesn't impede on the boats and the ramps and the stuff like that. It would be something that another destination, you have to pull you down that route, that trail. It would be fun.
Yeah, the grinders sound like that. I love the grinders that they have there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're talking about the ones that are still there from the first art project. Are those going to be?
Well, the original art would stay there. And these would be much smaller pieces that were just.
Oh, okay.
Historical artifacts, not necessarily more grinders, but, and I don't even know what's in those rooms that they're going to pull out, but it would be smaller pieces that might be interactive, and you'd have placards so that, you know, kids could see the original pieces, you know, just kind of on the side of the trail.
Okay.
And like I say, this is just, you know, just conversations, like PG said, well, we're probably 3 years away, even if we agree on anything today. I mean, so we're a long ways away.
Oh, okay.
And the tugboat, the committee who wants this, they think, I've asked them to try and figure out what they want it to be when it grows up, because they've said, well, it could be in the water, but then it could be out of the water. Kids could play on it. It could be buried, you know, and have the water line at the ground. So they don't know what they even want it to be at either. So it's just another discussion, low-level discussion right now.
Well,
I mean, I think once the Willamette Greenway Trail is done, hard to say if any of us will still be here, but I mean, once that's done, that might give space for that kind of stuff. I think for the small bit that we have done now, and the park itself, I would have trouble with the tugboat anywhere with what we have now.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, any thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I'd just echo what Patty said earlier. I think right now the idea of a permanent base, you know, long-term is not a good idea. But visiting, yes, and as John said, maybe once the whole project is further along, then we could revisit.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like the Parks Board has some reservations about tugboat at Willamette Park.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of a blanket comment. Everything from environmental impact to impacting the actual waterfront and taking up space. And is this something that we want to commit some energy or resources to? Sounds like maybe not as much. And the grinders, it sounds like we have a little bit of whatever.
If they're smaller, right? I mean, the pieces, the art installations.
They wouldn't impact the trail.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know what they are, they're just kind of looking into how they can meet the State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO's requirements, and mm-hmm. thought of us, you know, as interpreting, you know, because everything there is around the river and, you know, the log jams and everything that happens, so.
Okay, it'll be fun. Awesome. All right. And so I didn't mean to just interrupt the flow, but before we went on with more details, I wanted to just check in with the board and get reaction. Thanks. Okay.
So the next project we talked about has kind of the two segments, right? It's BD 1818. Mm-hmm. First part we talked about frequently is the Willamette River Greenway Trail. That we have phase one right now. As if you recall, we explored kind of an alternative route, which would extend Fifth mm-hmm. Avenue. Mm-hmm. We got surveys done, and it's just the terrain is problematic, and it just doesn't work as you try to traverse Willamette Falls Drive. Yeah. The most logical route would have been to just go right up to Willamette Falls Drive. And then we're into the Willamette Falls Drive master plan that they've just council approved about 2 months ago to get people safely, you know, at a $28 million project or whatever that is. So we kind of stepped away from there. We've met with PGE representative again, communicating with them. We're still communicating and met again with Willamette Paper Company to re-engage and talk about the riverfront trail, which was always our goal. We just mm-hmm. thought we might kind of have an alternate route that would be faster to help get people somewhere safely. Willamette Paper Company is the lessee on PG property, is willing to continue conversations and look at moving the trail forward through that second phase. So we're very excited that they wanted to have those conversations. I think that meeting was about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We also know that the owner of the West property, the property that is now in private ownership, is now starting to communicate a little bit with the city. So I spoke with our planning manager today. He's going to reach out and talk to that individual actually hopefully tomorrow, so we can start to engage if he has plans, you know, that group that purchased the property, and how we might have a conversation about a trail easements, riverfront parks, mm-hmm. you know, things that we have in our master plan that kind of ties, you know, all of these last two projects together. So we're excited to keep moving that forward. I wish it was faster. Just like you guys. Mm-hmm. And that kind of ties into the same project, which is the riverfront park that, you know, until we kind of can figure out what the private ownership is doing that owns the majority of that property, you know, we can't really move forward with propositions or plans, or, you know, if he's building the high-rise condos, can we improve the beachfront, or I don't, you know, whatever mm-hmm. Those plans might be. So that's, as much as it's a priority in our master plan, we're just not able to have serious conversations on what a riverfront park might look like to date. Hopefully that will come as our planning manager starts to talk with that individual about his plans. So, mm-hmm. like I said, I wish I had more great news that we've made huge progress, but it's slow.
Questions or...
What particular parcel is that? That for the riverfront, is that on 6th Street, that one there, or is it further?
Parcel for what?
For the private one that you're.
Well, everything in pink
is
all private ownership.
Right.
Basically, pink or purple, and then
right.
yellow is PGE.
PGE. Okay.
So, you know, where PGE owns. We have great relationships with them. The little green section there is what's the lease with Willamette Paper Company. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, obviously have a say on what happens
sure.
if we were to try and go
sure.
through their leased property. So as a non-owner of anything, that's what makes it complex. Mm-hmm.
Right. okay.
Is there any part of Willamette River that's accessible close to any of our parks that's city owned that could be built into the swim area that has been discussed with, you know, boardwalks and concession and maybe lifeguard and, you know, that it's roped off, boats mm-hmm. aren't gonna go yeah. in, that I it's mean, a
only...
swim area. Is there any city-owned property that could be considered? Just as starting to think contingency, because this has gone on for a while, and
well,
even with the best of effort
mm-hmm.
on your part and the city's mm-hmm. part, best of effort.
If you look at property we own a little river frontage at the McLean House,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. Below, you know,
Abernathy.
McLean House side,
yeah.
And we own a little property, just riverfront property up to Territorial Drive, and it's just a bank kind
okay.
of.
Okay.
We own Maddox Woods, which is small riverfront, maybe 200 feet of riverfront without the possibility of much infrastructure, right, for parking or anything.
Yeah.
A clean house is kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Burnside Park is next to Maddox Woods, which, you know, really has, if you don't count Maddox Woods, has access from up on top with trails only. And then we're all the way, Marius Young, we don't own. We're all the way down to Cedar Oak Boat Ramp.
Cedar Oak, yeah.
Which, you know, is landlocked. I mean, it's a very heavily used boat ramp,
mm-hmm.
serves a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to resurface it this year and
mm-hmm.
and restructure some parking. But, and then we own Cedar Island, which
it's an island.
I mean, we have infrastructure issues, right?
Yeah.
How do you get people there? I mean,
right, exactly.
You know,
ADA access, yeah. That,
well, any access.
You're right.
Marius Young, you go over the bridge when it's out, or you go from Cedar Up Boat Ramp. So the answer would be,
there's no good place for
well,
one.
Well, the only, you know, I mean, I can, you know, the
Fields Bridge is too rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the yes. only
yeah.
little
Cliff Shore,
place,
Cliff Shore, but
yeah.
Cliff Shore, I don't buy the city.
Cliff Shore,
oh yeah, but okay. Cliff Shore is a little bit. I mean, we're talking about
you know,
yeah,
the,
you know where there's boardwalk it's
yeah.
large,
the,
it's safe. There's
the,
you know
the only place is really if you look at from the end of Burnert Landing where our
uh-huh.
trail starts,
uh-huh.
where the homes stop. Right,
mm-hmm.
and you hit private ownership. That's really the only section that like PGE owns, and it's really almost where our trail is right now.
Right,
mm-hmm.
and the trail comes out right where the private property starts.
Okay.
So once again, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
But where do we put them? I mean, that's only 60 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a little wider than that in areas, but I mean, where do you park? Where do you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, so it's going to take some conversations. You know, when I talk to our planning manager, the gentleman that is in charge of ownership, I think it's a group, you know, an LLC
mm.
of some type, but he says he's reasonable and doesn't know that he won't want to talk to us about doing something now, you know, specifically a trail. But how does that work into Waterfront Park? I don't know. I mean,
all right. And is there anything that the Parks Board can do to help on this project?
I don't think so. I mean, we have
strong arm yellow feet.
Yeah. I mean, we have funding, you know, ready to start whatever process we're ready to go into and you know, it's just sitting there right now for the most part and waiting to see. We don't want to let that go away. We want to make sure that all that doesn't get taken in the bond measure
mm-hmm.
for something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when, if we have an opportunity, we lose it because we don't have money. You know, that would be my main concern
yeah.
as almost every project we have is going over budget, you know.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So
So that sounds like something in our communication to City Council that we recognize that this has been a project with quite a few constraints, but still please don't use our money.
That money in reserve.
I mean, it's not like it's going to be replaced.
Right.
So, and also, people voted on that bond, and it was a Parks bond replacement.
Yeah.
There's been, So, okay.
And if you find something that you think that we could do is to advocate for it, or letter writing campaign or calls or something, whatever we can do, I'm more than happy to do that.
We won't pester the owners. No. I know that when we were doing the Trails Master Plan, one of the residents who actually owned down to the river, I met her, and she said that she had received threats. She had received mail. People had come to her door saying, why would you prevent us from having this trail? And she had quite a bit of harassment, you know.
Was that on the Tualatin?
No, that was the one of the...
Somewhere on the land.
You know what? I might be getting my two rivers mixed
up. That's okay.
Up.
It could happen.
But it
could
have been on the land. It was, it just really reminded me. You know what? What?
I bet it's the Tualatin River stuff.
That was a 12.
It was really
Falls Drive.
Ugly.
Yeah, it could have been a lot of private ownership along
there. Yeah. So
well, the Trails Master Plan was tough.
The Trails Master Plan was really tough. Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts or suggestions around Willamette?
Nope. Next.
Anything else you want to share on that?
I think that's it for those three, for sure.
Okay. We're just ripping through our agenda tonight. The only thing that I will share is I heavily use the kayak launch there, and it's getting more and more difficult for me to carry my kayak.
Yes. That ADA access would be
some clever mechanism that gets the kayak down to the river.
That's a start.
I've been actually looking at lighter weight kayaks because all of our kayaks are over 50 pounds. So.
They do have the little wheels.
They do wheelie ones, conveyor belt.
What I've seen on some really steep ones is handrails going down.
Yeah.
And then it's clear. So if you can get the boat on the handrail, then you just
slide them right down.
Yeah.
You know, like those ramps they have at the bowling alley for the people that can't carry a bowling?
Or we just put a slide, just lay it on the slide and let it go.
And tie to a rope, like, you know,
and then pull it back up in the pulley.
Oh. But, I mean, I'm actually bringing it up somewhat seriously that, you know, Willamette Park is our easy access park.
Mm-hmm.
Marius Young,
No.
Even Cedar Oak, if you don't have a boat, you know, you have to
carry it away.
Yeah. Willamette Park is our kind of safe, easy park. And if there's anything, because we have the non-motorized boat launch, if we can actually look at some options for. Not just for me, but for anybody who needs to get a kayak
down
or paddleboard down to the river. Kind of embarrassed to say this. I went pull out a kayak. It's like, I just can't be toting these around by myself anymore.
Anyway,
just a thought.
It's a good one.
Take a look.
Yeah.
I know what we can do. It's a rough area. I mean, I know.
It is a rough area.
It's a weird area.
It is.
Although with the slide, I know that my kids would just jump on the front and go, no, it's jump for the kayak.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Rec and Adult Community Center update.
Okay. That is me.
Anything? There's so much planned.
I know.
It's like we're just going to look at the calendar here.
Yeah, we're in planning mode now. We didn't have any events since our last meeting that we hosted, so we're still taking a lot of registrations for camps, mm-hmm. filling up. We do need more applicants for our programs, so we're still working on that for our in-house, like Fun in the Sun, Minis, and Shorties.
So you need camp counselors?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Still open.
I'll be at graduation tomorrow. I'll start right,
then.
There's
that one.
It's a job. It's a summer job. You need to come.
So we're hoping to get a few more, and our camps start the week of June 27th, so it's coming up.
Yeah.
A couple weeks. So we're planning for, you know, Old Time Fair, music, movies right now still, getting all that squared away. Old Time Fair, we've got about 37 vendors now.
Oh, yay.
That's getting full. We have upcoming events. This month, we're going to have Pollinator Week, so we're going to do some on-site plant giveaways. We have our ambassadors doing a craft, so they'll give those out to the community, and that goes towards our, you know, Bee City USA certification each year. Try to do some pollinator programs for that. And then we've got Safety Town. Our ACC is busy as ever.
When is your Safety Town?
Same week, June 27th. So we have pretty much all our camps. Because we delayed everything because schools, their days kept changing on us.
Yeah.
So we had to bump it
right
out. We just got rid of that first, you know, week of June 20th. So we just kind of moved it on to
Is it totally full?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
That is such an awesome program.
Yeah, very.
My boys went through it.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's a great camp. Adult Center has been really busy with classes. A lot more people are coming out for exercise classes.
That's great.
For workshops, or, you know, coordinators are trying to get more people in for seminars. Bus trips have been completely full. Like we said, we could have a bus trip every week. Yeah, if we had
really?
More drivers and just, you know, stuff like that. So that's popular. And then they're doing some more socials. So like early kind of happy hour socials, working on a 4th of July barbecue, picnic, trying to get back to normalcy a little bit.
Good.
We did launch our online picnic reservations just in the last week.
How was it go live?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. We had a staff member. She put all of our current registration or reservations in the RecDesk system, just so we have it all in there. Mm-hmm. And then we did some trials with people just doing it over the phone into the system. It worked great. It was on our website. People were logging in. They got to the point where, oh, I need a password. I'm like, oh, it's locked. But hey, people are used to it. They were comfortable. We just went totally live. So seems to be working really well right now, so it's exciting.
You don't understand what a big step this is. We went from 12 Outlook calendars, one for each shelter, and the opportunity for lot of human error.
It's huge. Yes, this is huge.
Well, the double checking.
This is a big deal.
Yeah,
it's great.
This is pretty exciting.
I know.
But we felt pretty comfortable because we have had them open for, you know, they can reserve 6 months in advance, so we already had pretty much all of August, you know, people were already calling in, so we had pretty much a whole summer, so they're kind of just filling in those empty gaps right now. So that's exciting.
So it's called RecDesk, and is there a separate program, or is RecDesk is the program for?
Yep, for our camp registration and our picnic reservations.
That's fantastic. One-stop shop.
Yep.
That's excellent.
We'll work on Adult Center and Sunset Fire Hall sometime.
Yeah,
that'll be a bigger challenge, but that's kind of about it right now.
Juneteenth celebration coming.
Juneteenth is all set. Got all the musicians, the vendors. There's food vendors. There's going to be a booze truck there that serves and sells alcoholic beverages out of the side. Speakers. It's going to be a really active fun day, I think, on June 19th, 1 to 5. Hopefully our weather cooperates. Fingers crossed, always.
I don't even know anymore.
Crazy right now.
It's like, is this June?
Yeah.
It's OSU is doing graduation. I have three people graduating. And
it's this Saturday, and it's supposed to be an atmospheric river of rain on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. For tomorrow Saturday, yeah.
Not looking good.
So much fun. Well, we did, Westland's doing theirs at Providence Park again this year because it's a lot bigger. We always done it at the Child Center.
Yeah.
But this year, again, we're going back to Providence Park, but it's going to start at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and we'll be
98% chance of rain tomorrow. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
2% is going to come through.
2%. Okay, yes. And I know that the Willamette Farmers Market is not run by the city, but I have to say it's been pretty amazing, even though it took me 20 minutes to go 1 mile to get to the freeway. It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It really is. They have music, and if you haven't been down there, it's every Wednesday, 4 to 8, and it is a great community thing. They do a good job. All right. And our music in the park starts next month.
Yay!
Hey.
Look forward to that for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments from the board on recreation? Okay. Then department project update.
Yeah, so
you want to talk outside of Willamette Park?
Outside of Willamette Park. So just a little bit about what's happening. What's happening as we speak, we have a water main break at Fields Bridge Park, right at the entrance.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there happens to be a small grass area where cars have parked for years.
Yeah.
I think this year it's so wet that the weight of the car and probably the wet ground, it's about 6 feet deep where the line finally broke.
Yeah.
Which means we have to bring in shoring. So unfortunately, we have porta potties coming tomorrow. Baseball has a tournament this weekend with no water.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, it's just
raining.
It is what it is.
Raining.
Just one of those things that happens. Sunset Park, we have a zip line up there. The mechanism has broke.
Oh.
We're working with the manufacturer to come up with a solution to that. Merrillhurst Heights Park and Hanley Park, we've spent about $9,000 in the past month reversing doors on our restrooms. We've had a vandalism. So when you have doors that open inside, you have magnetic locks on your doors for fun and giggles. They kick and push the bottom of the doors so hard to try and get them open that they actually bend the metal doors. So the doors don't shut anymore. Mm-hmm. So on our basically brick concrete buildings, you have to have the whole door frame taken out, turned at about a cost of $3,000 a door, which is no fun, but just so you kind of know a little bit of what's happening. Tanner Creek Park, we're replacing one of the unsafe basketball hoops. The footing was just after 20 years too small, so we're replacing that. At the fitness court, we installed a bottle fill and drinking fountain on the side of the restroom that's next to the fitness court. Stump grinding continues at our parks. Marius Young off-leash area, we completed our reseeding and took the fence down and got the grass mowed.
It looks great.
They're a little happier.
It looks it's
really
beautiful.
Good. Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah, I went there this week.
We did Willamette Park. We're heavily working with Public Works on designs for our parking at Marius Young Park. We're going to have paved. We'll probably put in some little rain gardens and deciding where the chips go and the gravel bins for the gardener or for our volunteers. Doing the same thing at Sea Rope Boat Ramp. Outside of parks, but in my purview, the Robinwood Station renovation started June 1st. It's taken a lot of time already, just because it's a $1 million project, you know, with construction starting. So far, we have found asbestos. We found a septic tank in the first 2 days that we didn't, change orders happen. It's just been complex. Merrillhurst Heights Park, we're confirming bids with a concrete company. We have one swing set in the back that doesn't have a playground border that holds chips in, so we're trying to get that done this month. We removed debris, new metal roof. We selected the bid for the boardwalk at Mary S. Young. The big stairs that have gone up, we're trying to get them to agree on a contract, which is a little complex because it has a lot of FEMA clauses, because we'll get reimbursed with FEMA, so we have to have some different clauses in there that everybody has to wonder why, because half the time we don't even know what they are, to be honest, but they're there. We're partnering and trying to resolve issues around our friends of the McLean Park and House. Their executive board, they have three executive board members filling four positions, and they are, none of them are going to run again. They held their annual meeting in May 16th. We were there. They have all agreed to a six-month term till the end of October to work on a transition plan. They kind of laid out three options. The first plan is to reinvigorate some new folks to take on the executive board positions. And it's complex because they've morphed into managing and operating that facility as a rental venue. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. The other option is to walk away and say it's been fun, dissolve their 501c3. The third option would be to kind of transform with some new executive board members into a foundation, where they might just do some fundraising, but not operate and manage the McLean House. So we're just trying to help them through a decision-making process. Depending on what that decision is, obviously the city may have to do something differently with the McLean House and figure out what that means going forward. Juneteenth is all planned and ready to go. We've scheduled Northwest Youth Corps work crew. 9 youth members and 2 leaders will be at the White Oak Savannah the week of June 20th to mow the fire line up top and on each side of the pathways and trails. Northwest Youth Corps will also be here July 18th through 22nd to work at Marius Young. We'll mow the field area of the White Oak Savannah hopefully about next Monday, depending on weather. I think I mentioned we're coordinating with a new volunteer group called LO Teen Rangers. A gentleman has got a grant to work with teens, and they'll be in Marius Young for 2 weeks in July. We're coordinating what that work looks like. Still working with our Willamette River Pickleball Club, Tanner Creek. We might paint some lines on the tennis court, so they would have a couple more courts if they do clinics and events, because they would like them.
It's a big thing, pickleball.
Yeah, so seasonal staffing, we've been able to hire 5 seasonal park maintenance workers, which is about 50% of what we normally hire.
Is this because you don't have the funding or because you don't have the applicants?
We don't have the applicants. Our spray parks, we're working on those, but right now our full-time employees are the only qualified people to monitor our spray parks. If you recall, we have 5. They're monitored every 4 hours. So that equates 7 days a week. That takes 1.4 full-time equivalents just to manage 5 spray parks, which is out of 8 employees. So almost a quarter of our employees just go to one amenity in our parks.
And when you say monitored, is that the hose or the testing and stuff? Or?
Well, yeah. So the spray parks they're all on automatic timers. Mm-hmm. 5 of them turn on at 10 o'clock. But they have to, like a swimming pool, they have to have chemical tests every 4 hours. And, you know, they're automatic feed, but, you know, they just need to be looked after and babied. Things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we try and set every clock at like 9:55, so they come on at 10. But as soon as they're not on at 10:01, we get 10 phone calls.
Yeah.
And you don't know if it's broken or, you know, you tell them to wait a minute, but, you know, things just happen with them. And I think I mentioned also that we're very proud of is, when I sent you an email, we have more organized Adopt the Park volunteer groups this month than we've ever had in the history of our Parks Department. You know, they're everywhere, and it's great. You know, and it's a credit to the volunteers that, you know, want to do work in our park. So that's great. And Tara's doing a great job coordinating them with Jen, our park maintenance supervisor. And I have to commend, you know, our park maintenance staff working through the rain, trying to mow and keep things looking pretty. And our recreation staff, who are all new and have never been through any of the events we're holding this summer, you know, they've been doing a great job as we try to tell them all the secrets that we know that we don't have on paper yet.
Right.
So, they're doing a great job. And we're excited for summer and trying to get everybody back to our events and have fun.
Yay.
Good.
So it sounds like you need help with some recruiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to say that we're doing something wrong and we can fix it, but everybody we talk to is in the parks world, everybody, it's hard to get people to fill out an application. So we keep trying.
I have somebody. I'll talk to you after this. Yeah. Who lives on Bolt Street? Okay.
Fun in the sun is in Willamette.
Okay. It doesn't appear that Jules is here tonight, so we can skip number 9 unless staff is aware of any items of interest or feedback from City Council.
No, we've stayed out of their way recently. I mean,
surveys ends today, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it today?
Community survey?
Oh, that's right. So, yes, June 9th, today is the deadline for the capital improvement survey.
Uh-huh.
It went out. So, there were two pieces to that. The one online that was sent out, tried to get out to everybody in the community. I think the last thing I heard, there were 1,300 respondents I might have read or seen.
That's bad.
And then the other half of it was the scientific side of it, you know, where they survey statistically valid 400 people in our community, and so there'll be those two pieces that will be put together. I don't know if you guys heard, doesn't really pertain to you much, but Jerry Gabrielitos, our city manager, is leaving us the end of August. His contract is up, just kind of for general information. Our IT director is leaving. If you know anybody in the IT world that wants to apply, that'll be out there pretty quick. He's leaving June 24th. So we have positions if you know people.
Okay.
Wow. Well, that's right.
This may be one of the shortest meetings. I love this. So as far as communication to City Council, we want to just summarize and check communications. Please retain the funding for the
bond project,
Willamette Park bond project.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it's worth mentioning, I'm just going to toss this out, I've been just jotting down some things. That our rec program is extremely popular this year. Lots of activities going on. It's the most organized park volunteer in the history in the month of June, which was raining the entire time. I know I've turned into a little bit more of a fair weather volunteer, and I'm just so impressed by that. That's just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And that the rec desk go live has been such a positive impact, but that your recruitment needs are getting to the point. I think we're already at the point that it's a constraint on what we can the city can deliver. I mean, it's just
you can't
do your work. You can't even fill the positions that you have.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you, from the board, that you feel should go into the communication to City Council?
The only thing I can think of is where we started with the disc golf kind of that partnership.
Oh yeah.
Between the scouts and church and city. I think that's neat to kind of share that.
Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great suggestion. I'll take ownership for putting something together to go to City Council. It's just a, hey, you can always look at our minutes, but here are some highlights as a specific communication to City Council as an advisory group. And then our next meeting in July is Park Resources for Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Near and dear to my heart.
So I know that this was a fast meeting, but have you felt like some of the issues with special interests that we lived through last year? I mean, I'm feeling like this is going just really smoothly this year. We're not missing something that we should be aware of.
No. Don't chase it.
You're entering in next month, though. Oh, no. You're opening the doggy door to trouble, maybe.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think it's a great conversation next month, but what I did want to ask, kind of, I guess, I know you have a couple of things listed here, but, you know, what are the goals of the board with this conversation? We have an informal dog group,
mm-hmm.
right,
who's Marius
out there,
Young.
Who don't necessarily speak for everybody, because there's a whole nother, you know, I get phone calls from other people who say those people, you know, didn't talk to me. I mean, you know,
I met some of them at the park.
I'm sure. I mean, so dog parks, off-leash areas are a huge emotional issue. And I think, do we talk about Marius Young as an off-leash area and what does it want to be, or is it good? And I'll send you information as reminders for some of you, but they came and talked to us and they did a little survey. And I'll send that to you from that group.
Oh,
I think it was 37 people, which certainly is not near the amount of people that go there. But or do we talk about, you know, the other big issue that someone came and talked to us in 21 also? We need a real dog park somewhere.
A real dog park.
A real dog park.
As opposed to the one we already have?
He suggested, you know, Merrillhurst Heights Park, which is complicated with infrastructure and everything mm-hmm. else. So I don't know where you want
to come. Is that where the labyrinth is? That's a tough one.
Well, and then you get into off-leash areas mm-hmm. versus dog park.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we have an off-leash area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say dog park, that's normally traditionally might be fenced. You have
mm-hmm.
big dogs, small dogs,
dogs
big dogs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, so those are all terms that can be emotional. Just when you say fence, it can be emotional. So do we want to invite our informal group to, or do you guys just want to, I mean, how do you want us to
that's
handle
a good
this
question.
Going forward, you know, for the meeting? I mean, what would you like us to do, put a sign? Do we want input? Do we want 35 people on? I don't know. I mean,
written input would be lovely.
That's
well,
okay. I mean,
yeah.
I just, that's what I kind of wanted to do, see where you want to go. And otherwise, someone may organize and get 30 people here to all say the same thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, we've had that. So.
We have had that.
If you think about Merrillhurst Park, which is when we initially put that together, there was going to be that area where we were going to have a whole bunch of parking, you know, that gravel area down there. I forget the name of that street.
Valley View,
the street that we fixed. So if you were going to have put a dog park there, I mean, I think there's room to put a dog park, you know, fenced dog park there, because there's a lot of grassy areas that don't get tremendously used, even in the summer. The key would be that at Merrillhurst Park is we'd have to create that parking area off of Valley View and then up to a dog park. I mean, that's doable. Okay. Might be expensive, but that's doable. Remember, that's all graveled, which is grown in with a little grass now, but you can drive on that even as wet as it is now if you wanted to do that. Because the way parking is right now at Merrillhurst Park, if you put a dog park there, there's no place to park. So we'd have to create the parking for it. So that might be expensive, but that would not be a terrible place to have an actual dog park that's fenced in, like there are throughout the other communities.
An Oppenlander, I mean,
yeah.
I take my dog to Oppenlander, and that's at that point, you know, that's kind of got some space that, but we don't have that yet. But that's also a part that could be considered as an additional near the front, or if you're going to do a fence one.
My thought would be, if you want to talk about dog parks, might be, do we need a dog park? Would be the first conversation.
Right.
What would it look like? What would it be? And I would try to avoid location as long as possible.
Oh, yeah.
because that's a bigger question that we're not, is there going to
be, right.
You know, and I think Offenlander is a great conversation. If that was to come to fruition, it's right. Probably an ideal place, but that's just kind of my thoughts. I think as soon as you start on location, you're going to get people that have big concerns one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we started with, let's evaluate what we have.
Okay.
So go down to the off-leash.
Yep.
Is off, how is it working? How does it look? Is it safe? Do they need more fences? Just let's evaluate what we have. What we have and how it's managed, and start there.
Sure.
I know, going up to this, I've been talking to folks, dog owners and not dog owners.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Mary S. Young and talked to people with their dogs, and then the Wednesday Farmers Market, I noticed people had dogs, and I just kind of randomly, like, mm-hmm. people who were sitting around and watching the dogs doing their things, like, what do you think about dogs in Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the people who are observing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also took a walk where I know there's a lot of dog walkers that don't go. I don't know if they go to the mm-hmm. off-leash area or not, and just say, I just kind of, hey, what do you think about resources for your dogs and places? So it's not a scientific or statistically valid way of bringing in information. I will say that just talking to people who use various young off-leash park is a extremely skewed input point.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely valid, but not representative of our community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been really trying to go out of my way to talk to people who
mm-hmm.
have dogs
mm-hmm.
that are on leash or elsewhere. And so if any of you do that, I would just really encourage you to. I have found a significant difference in the feedback based mm-hmm. on spending time just with the people off leash versus the people who are walking their dog on a leash
mm-hmm.
in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Just, I had one woman say, I will never go to an off leash park because it's dangerous for my dog, and she had this
okay.
whole thing.
Well, that is
okay.
That's a big choice, yeah.
And that's fine. So just a little, based on my experience, it was really very different. So let's start with what we have, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, is it good? Any improvements? Any feedback that we hear from the community? And talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors. You know, just ask your neighbors, and then ask the question: do we need a dog park or something
mm-hmm.
more? And if so, you know, that goes into potential planning for the future, mm-hmm. as opposed to we want a park that looks like this,
mm-hmm.
this park,
mm-hmm.
and this is what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that sound okay,
yeah.
Dane?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's go.
Awesome. Then I think that, is there anything else from anybody on the Parks Board or staff?
So
nope.
Let's ask this. So do we want to reach out to this informal group? I mean, Tara's been communicating
mm-hmm.
with them and kind of just let them know, we have your survey results that the board's going to look at again
mm-hmm.
as we evaluate what we have. Do you have any new information you'd like to share? And kind of just, does that sound appropriate? Kind
mm-hmm.
of just to see,
sure.
Because there is, because they're talking every day, and
mm-hmm.
like
sure.
the chairs talk to them,
yeah.
what they're kind of want, kind of don't want.
Yeah, you know what?
So that we kind of have it. Just if that's what you want us to do, we can. Tara can do that because she does speak with them.
Also. You could also phrase it if they want to provide a representative of the group, although we understand that they don't communicate for everybody, as opposed to asking if the group wants to come.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Great idea.
I don't want to just make it a forum for hearing this one group.
Right.
I'd be happy if you just sent us the survey
mm-hmm.
summary
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'll read that. I would feel real comfortable
mm-hmm.
with that, and
you know, everything is open. So I don't think we have to go. It's not just about this one group.
Oh, no. And we're just taking input at this point. We don't have any. I just want to get a general sense.
Communicate with them.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when we talk today, they've had some other ideas, whether they're good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, just to let them express that.
Yeah. Yeah. To be heard. Sure.
And maybe they only get their 5 minutes for community comments if you choose that or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
It's not all about them, right?
No.
Sure.
And if they want to, you know, put together, you know, a summary of their suggestions, that's great.
That's great, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Then we'll officially close our meeting.
Yeah.
15 minutes early. Woo-woo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adios.
Do the sunshine dance.
The sunshine dance, please.
Oh, my gosh.